My podcast guest this week is Solicitor Dermot Conway, who has a lot of experience in dealing with fisheries issues. He brings to the attention of owners and skippers new legislation which came into effect on the 1st of September, imposing new obligations in regard to crew lists, medical care and repatriation and insurance, but also for share fishermen and crew agreements, which latter particularly ends what has been the word-of-mouth agreement, which for so many years has been part of the fishing industry and the hiring of crews. This latter situation arises particularly from the legal case which the International Transport Federation took against the Irish government. With so much happening in the fishing industry at present, ranging from the penalty points controversy to Brexit and the High Court rejection this week of the ban on larger trawlers fishing inshore waters, the extent of the new obligations imposed on boat owners and skippers may have escaped attention. But these regulations have been introduced and are in effect since the 1st of September. They will impose more work on preparing for a fishing trip, as Dermot Conway outlined to me.
The likely effect is that there are going to be additional obligations on skippers and owners to record information and to store safely on each and every fishing trip. And that is another chunk of paperwork that they're going to have to complete and then transmit it to wherever the operation of the business is, and for it to be stored there. The consequences for owners and skippers is that it's something to be done at the start of a trip, and the entire theme of it is really to do with the safety culture that the Marine Survey Office is trying to promote. So that's the first statutory instrument, which is 332 of 2020. The second one, which is 333, has to do with medical care and repatriation. And that's obviously a slightly different matter. And under the heading of medical treatment and repatriation, there's two different obligations. There's one obligation on the owner and the other is on the skipper. And the first obligation is where something happens at sea. The master of the vessel is to ensure that the crew member who has been injured is brought ashore as quickly as possible and receives the appropriate medical care. The obligation then transfers to the owner, who must ensure that the medical care is appropriate and that he would look after that until such time as the crew member returns home, and that includes the obligation potentially to pay for travel if the vessel isn't operating around the coast of Ireland. In terms of the travel and repatriation, there's another subset of an obligation on the owner, which is the owner has to have a insurance policy to cover this. And that insurance policy must be displayed in a very prominent position on the vessel itself. The data which has to be gathered and transmitted to the company's place of business is the crew list. And the crew list is, as it says, which is the list of the crew that's heading to sea, who those people are and their date of birth and contact details of next of kin. And the final thing which is being introduced is crew agreements to deal with share fishermen. So as you're aware, Tom, we have two different categories of fishermen working on the Irish fleet. The first is the contract employees, which would be traditional employees that would have contracts of employment. And then you have share fishermen. And as you're aware, share fishermen operate on the basis of the profit of the fishing trip, but that now needs to be reduced to writing. It's no longer good enough just to make a phone call and invite someone on the boat for a trip. The crew agreement needs to be filled in, which is setting out the name and address and date of birth of the crew member, the details of the owner, the details of the skipper, the fishing trip that they're about to commence, where they're going, how long that person is likely to be retained on board as a share fisherman, and then ultimately what the share arrangement is with that share fisherman.
That latter one particularly could make a big difference in fishing ports, couldn't it? Because there was always a more kind of informal agreement, word of mouth rather than in writing, really.
You're absolutely right. It's a complete departure from the centuries-old tradition of, as you said, orally saying to someone, I'm heading out tomorrow, the day after, would you be available to come on that trip, or vice versa, a crew member, someone comes along inside and said, I'm looking for some work, do you have any? So now what it means is that prior to departure, this paperwork is going to have to be completed. Obviously, it is not necessarily for every trip, in the sense that the duration of the potential relationship can be defined by fishing trip, it can be defined in time. So you could suggest that we envisage that this relationship is going to last for 6 months or 2 months or whatever. But it's certainly very different from what we've had. And it flows from litigation that was taken by the International Transport Workers Federation. And in order to deal with that litigation, the parties to that litigation, which included the Minister for Transport, agreed that they would implement certain international safety legislation, which included this obligation that there would be crew agreements so that there's a record of what had been agreed, and that the crew member would be given a record so that they can ensure that if there's a dispute later on, as between the crew member and the owner of the vessel, that there is some record of what was agreed.
Obviously, as you said earlier in this interview, these will be regulations that the fishermen, the owners, the skippers now very much need to be aware of. Obviously, safety will come first, so that's a given. But the one about employment legislation will be very important because of the ITF, as you said, litigation.
Yes, and I think it's worthwhile pointing out that Ireland had signed up to this quite some time ago and just had not implemented it. And that was part of the ITF complaint, that if you're not going to implement something, you shouldn't sign up to it. And they wanted this. And as a result of the settlement, it's now in place. Ultimately, as you correctly say, safety of crewless is clearly a good thing. If something were to happen, it's imperative that it's easy for people to identify who was on a boat. But in terms of this departure, whereby now share fishermen must have effectively written records of the agreement between owner, skipper and the crew member, this does add another layer of paperwork, and it also introduces a formality that has never been there in the relationship between owner, master and share fisherman.
Solicitor Dermot Conway describing the new obligations imposed in relation to employing crews on fishing boats. He will be writing a detailed article on this for the November edition of the Marine Times.